Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. A local election shakeup continues as longtime Juneau School Board member Emil Mackey says he has decided not to run for re-election after a 9-year tenure. Mackey says he changed his mind on running just this week.
I've spent 3 terms on the board, including a consolidation process that was extremely taxing emotionally and time-wise. And so I think it's time for somebody else to join the board because I am just exhausted.
His announcement comes just after board president Dee Dee Sorensen told KTOO yesterday that she also is not running for re-election and will retire when her term ends this fall. That means 2 full-term school board seats are open without incumbents for this fall's municipal election. The last chance to file for an open seat on the school board or assembly is Monday at 4:30 p.m. Voters first elected Mackey to the board in 2015. He was then re-elected in 2018 and again in 2022. He has a PhD in public policy with an emphasis in higher education policy and a master's in education from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Like Sorensen, he played a critical role on the board during the COVID-19 pandemic and the decision to consolidate Juneau's high schools and middle schools. Both Mackey and Sorensen faced some public backlash for their vote in favor of the consolidation and were the subjects of a failed recall attempt in last year's election. Mackey says he is far from being done with public service in Juneau, but needs time away to focus on his family and business.
You know, I'm coming out of the 9th round of a heavyweight fight, and I don't feel like I need to start the first round of a new one.
He said the lack of funding support from the state and federal government is the root of most of the district's problems. The Trump administration's new tax and spending bill cuts hundreds of millions of dollars in funding for Medicaid. That's likely to affect the more than 250,000 Alaskans who rely on the program. Leaders at Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital are now discussing what the impending loss of coverage could mean for its patients and the hospital's future financial viability. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
Medicaid is a joint state and federally funded health insurance program that covers people with low incomes or disabilities. More than 70 million Americans, including children, rely on the program to get critical care. Here in Alaska, 1 in 3 residents is enrolled in Medicaid. President Donald Trump's recently passed budget bill includes significant cuts to Medicaid spending and changes how Alaska must administer the program. In Juneau, that's going to affect the city-owned Bartlett Regional Hospital. CEO Joe Warner says, in a worst-case scenario, it stands to lose between $3 to $4 million annually in Medicaid spending once the law goes into effect.
I don't see this as the end of Bartlett. It might be a tough for a period of time. We will survive. We will continue to provide good patient care to the residents of Juneau.
The new law will mean that most Medicaid recipients will need to meet certain work requirements to qualify for care. It will also compel the state to increase its eligibility checks and monitoring of recipients. Those requirements are expected to begin as early as January 2027, though the state plans to apply for waivers to push that compliance back to 2029. The Alaska Department of Health retracted a recent estimate that Alaska could lose up to $500 million annually in Medicaid spending due to the cuts. Now it's saying that the full impacts of the changes is complicated to project because many Alaskans will be exempt from the new requirements. Officials say they are working on updated estimates. Warner says Juneau's hospital will use the meantime to financially prepare for the changes and figure out what they will look like in practice.
And with everything healthcare, all you have to do is try to be in this position where you're able to survive.
Last spring, the hospital faced a multi-million-dollar deficit that threatened bankruptcy. Its board controversially chose to reduce staffing and shut down multiple programs to keep that from happening.
We're in a much better place than we were a year ago. So as long as we keep on our trajectory and we're able to sustain our financial viability that we've seen over the last 12 months, we should be able to build some reserves up to weather the storm.
The bill included $50 billion towards what's called a Rural Health Transformation Program, which is aimed at offsetting the loss of Medicaid spending in rural areas. Warner says that funding could help Bartlett, but for now, a lot is still unknown. A spokesperson for the other major medical care provider in Juneau, Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SERCH, says it's still assessing the impacts of the bill on its services. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And after an 8-month investigation, law enforcement officers arrested multiple Juneau residents this week for their roles in an alleged organized drug distribution ring. According to a press release, the investigation began last fall and involved multiple law enforcement agencies in Alaska and California, where the drugs allegedly originated before arriving in Juneau. In total, 7 people, both Juneau and California residents, were arrested and indicted for charges related to the distribution of about 7 kilograms worth of methamphetamine. And State Senator Shelley Hughes, a Palmer Republican, says she's running for governor. Hughes has served in the legislature for more than a decade and has been a member of the Senate since 2017. Hughes is a staunch conservative and is currently a member of the all-Republican Senate minority. At a campaign launch event at a barn in Palmer yesterday, Hughes touted her work on a variety of issues, emphasizing energy, education, agriculture, and technology. If she's elected, Hughes says she'd be willing to work with legislators of all stripes. She points to her work on the Alaska Reads Act, a bipartisan literacy initiative.
I think the good Lord gave me the gift of being able to build consensus without forsaking my values and my principles. And so that is a skill set that is very, very important for a governor to have, because you're not always going to be given the legislature that you would maybe handpick yourself.
At the same time, Hughes says she's willing to make unpopular decisions to address what she called a rough patch in the state's financial situation. Hughes describes herself as a, quote, limited government gal, and says artificial intelligence could play a role in streamlining the state's operations.
We do have to look at our budget and be very strategic and prioritize. And I am willing to take the heat, and it will take heat, because when you do that, you're going to have people on all sides not happy with you. But you got to have someone with a vision that will hold the line.
Hughes says she's concerned by the large number of able-bodied Alaskans who rely on Medicaid and says she wants to provide them with job training. Hughes also says she wants to continue Dunleavy's push to expand the state's role in promoting agriculture by elevating the state division of agriculture to a cabinet-level department. Hughes has supported Dunleavy's proposals to expand alternatives to traditional neighborhood schools, including homeschool and charter schools, but she did not directly address school choice in her campaign announcement. Hughes is a 7th candidate in an increasingly crowded all-Republican field for the 2026 governor's race. No Democrats have formally joined the race. The deadline to file isn't until next June. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced today that Department of Revenue Commissioner Adam Crum plans to resign early next month. Reached by phone, Crum read a statement saying he had, quote, accomplished a lot to put Alaska on sound economic footing. He said he would have more to say on his last day, which is planned for August 8th. In a statement shared by the governor's office, Crum said it was an honor to serve in Dunleavy's administration. Crum says he was not asked to resign. He is widely seen as a possible candidate for governor, but Alaska law restricts the use of state time and resources for political campaigns. In a prepared statement, Dunleavy said Crum was a, quote, exemplary leader. Crum served as health commissioner before Dunleavy appointed him revenue commissioner in 2022. Dunleavy's office did not respond to an interview request. In late May, the heads of State House and Senate sent a letter to Dunleavy calling attention to what they called a, quote, persistent pattern of obstruction within the senior ranks of Alaska's Department of Revenue. The letter came alongside a bill that lawmakers said would strengthen the legislative auditor's ability to examine oil tax data. And a youth kayak trip returned to Petersburg this week after 7 days at sea. As KFSK's Hannah Weaver reports, the teenagers learned both outdoor skills and about themselves.
On a gravel patch at Sandy Beach, a group of teenagers circle up. 4 instructors lead them in icebreaker games before they head out for a week-long kayak expedition. Instructor Kevin Vaca draws circles in the gravel for a game about comfort zones.
Out here, in this little middle circle, this little middle area, known as our growth zones, or our stretch zones.
Then the teens and instructors move in the circle depending on how comfortable they are with the given activity. Vaca suggests a divisive example.
What about giving like a class presentation?
Some stay right in the middle, but 13-year-old Summer Wells runs far outside the comfort zone circle, all the way to the bushes.
Hi, Summer!
Hi, Summer!
The game is a preview into one of the trip's key goals, pushing the participants outside of their comfort zone. For 7 days, they'll kayak along the south end of Mitkoff Island, camping along the way. The trip is organized by the Petersburg Medical Center and the outdoor education group Onward and Upward. The group bonded right away, nicknaming themselves the Cowfish Jockeys. It's an inside joke I won't even try to explain. Starting on day one, they dove into kayak skills.
So when we do sweep strokes, we're going to line up and twist our body. We're going to place it in by the stern of our boat and make one long sweep.
And played lots of games on land.
Side crab. And oh my gosh, look at that thing on the ground.
One returning participant taught everyone how to tie a fly, which was new for 13-year-old Summer.
I've never done fly fishing before, but I got really good at it, I think. And I got it pretty far for my first time. The fish I got, I released it because there wasn't much meat on it.
Was there a moment for you throughout the trip that felt like you were getting outside of your comfort zone a little bit?
Probably setting up, like, the burner stove thing. I wasn't really good at that, but I did better at cooking. And every meal had, like, sand in it or something.
Did it taste good still?
Mm-hmm.
The instructors say another focus was on building self-sufficiency. Katie Holmlund runs Petersburg Medical Center's youth programs and was one of the instructors. She says she was impressed with how much the group progressed throughout the week. For the last few miles of kayaking, she says the teens led it all themselves.
Hearing them, especially on that last day, checking in with one another, like, how are you feeling? Do you think we need to pot up? Need anything? And supporting one another in that way. And having young people do that is a tremendous, tremendous gift, really.
Holmlund says the return was emotional for the participants.
And all 12 participants said they want to do this again. And their low of the week was going home. I think that's a sign of a successful trip.
She says they're already planning for next year. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Weaver.
And in Juneau, it's currently 60 degrees and mostly cloudy with a sunny weekend on the horizon. This is KTOO.